We're going to take a look at, we actually looked at this a few years ago, at the Rambam, the Rambam's presentation of the Seder. The Rambam, of course, his language is elegant, his structure is near perfect, and his sense of organization is really something that is a model. One quick introduction to the Rambam is, not to the Rambam in general, but the Rambam in this section is, that if you think about it, there are certain chagim and certain masachtot of Shas, which really are combined of two or three different areas in halacha. And the two that come to mind right away, although there are others, are Pesach and Yom Kippur. Right? Masachet Yoma. If you ever studied Masachet Yoma, you know that the first seven out of eight chapters, the significant majority of the Masachet is devoted to the Avodat Yom HaKippurim of the Kohen Gadol, and not one mention about fasting, and about Vidui, and about Tefillah, and about Tshuva, until the last parak, when suddenly all that stuff comes rushing at you like a flood, laws of a pregnant woman, and when she can, what conditions she can eat, and somebody who's sick, and when the doctors say he can eat, etc., etc., and then the Tshuva, and the Sugiyot at the end. In the same way, Masachet Pesachim, and the Meiri points out that it's called Masachet Pesachim in the plural, he says there's really two Masachtot. There's the Masachet, which is chapters 1 through 4, and 10, which is the Pesach we recognize, which is cleaning out, checking for chametz, what's proper material for matzah and for maror, etc., and the Seder, which is chapters 1 through 4 and chapter 10, and there's chapters 5 through 9, which are the Korban Pesach, culminating with Pesach Sheni. He says that's why it's called Pesachim in the plural. Matter of fact, in his organization, we have chapters 1 through 4 and 10 together. I once taught it that way. One year, Daraf Yomi came out to be in the middle of Pesachim on Pesach. So after chapter 4, I skipped and did chapter 10 in the Shir before Pesach. So coming into the Seder, they would have just learned those Gemarot. And then afterwards, we went back and did the middle Prakim about Korban Pesach, which we finished by Pesach Sheni. Okay. The relevance of that to the Rambam is because one of the chief innovations that the Rambam brought to the table with the Mishnah Torah, which was published in 1177, 1178, you know, then, and it's very good to read Tversky's introduction to the Mishnah Torah. It's a fantastic book. And I mean, that's when he was writing it, so it was really kind of publicized in the beginning of the 13th century. The Rambam, the end of the 12th and beginning of the 13th, the Rambam reorganized halakha, and in that sense, he was deliberately and knowingly following in the steps of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who was the first one to organize halakha in some system of categories and subcategories and sub-subcategories. The Rambam did the same thing, but as a result of all of the nuances and tangents and everything else in the Talmud Bavli, did a whole reorganization, and not into six volumes, but into 14 volumes. He's remembered because the nickname of the book is the Yad HaChazakah, Yad Dalet 14. And the 14 volumes included a volume that most codes don't include, that's Sefer Hamada, which deals with basic beliefs. And then it went in the following order of Sefer Ahava, which is always fun to ask students in high school what they think is in there, and they're always wrong, because it's Tefillin and Brachot and Tzitzit and... Right? And then there's Zmanim, which is the part that concerns us, which is the calendar. And Zmanim starts with Shabbat and ends with Megillah and Chanukah together. And in Zmanim, you have a section of Halakha called Hilchot Shvitat Asor. Shvitat Asor means the resting on the 10th day. That is talking about Yom Kippur. But not all of Yom Kippur. It talks about fasting. It talks about Malacha. It talks about under what a person can eat, etc. Then there's a section earlier than that, I think earlier than that, called Hilchot Chametz Umatzah. Actually, it's afterwards. Hilchot Chametz Umatzah, which is what the Rambam calls it. Eight chapters, followed by the Rambam's Haggadah, the Rambam's version of the Haggadah. Hilchot Chametz Umatzah. And it's exactly what it says. It starts out with the Isurim of Chametz and the Chiyuv of Bedikat Chametz, and under what cases and conditions you get makah from making Chametz, etc. And then it goes up to the Mitzvah of Matzah, and what materials constitute matzah, and it takes us to our chapter 7, which is the mitzvot of the evening and the Seder. Right? And the mitzvah basically of Haggadah. Now, way down the pipe, there is a book the Rambam has called Sefer Avodah, which talks about the building of the Beit HaMikdash and the Big Day Kahuna and Psulei Muktashim, etc. And has a companion book called Korbanot, which deals with subsets of Korbanot. In Korbanot, you have a section called Hilchot Korban Pesach. Hilchot Korban Pesach deals with exactly that. In Sefer Avodah, you have a section called Hilchot Avodat Yom HaKippurim. So what the Rambam did with Masechet Yoma and Masechet Pesachim is he split them. He said the ritual part that applies universally goes in Zmanim. And the Mikdash part that only applies obviously in Yerushalayim shows up in Sefer Avodah Korbanot, and it dealt with very differently, very separately, not differently, but separately. So in Hilchot Chametz Matzah, the seventh out of eight chapters, deals with the mitzvah of Haggadah, and let's take a look at it right away. Okay, the Rambam begins with the following. Now, if you remember, the way that the Rambam structured the Mishnei Torah is as if it's a commentary on the mitzvot, because the precursor to the Mishnei Torah was Sefer HaMitzvot. What is Sefer HaMitzvot? Sefer HaMitzvot is, in some sense, a polemic. Because you remember the Gemara says that the famous drasha of Rav Sarai in the 3rd century, we were given 613 mitzvot at Har Sinai, 248 mitzvot aseh, 365 mitzvot lot aseh, and the Gemara says nothing more about it. It doesn't tell us what they are, what's on the list. So immediately after the period of the Gemara, you have Chachamim putting together a list of the mitzvot, and they started disagreeing what goes on the list. Not what things we have to do, but what's considered on the list. So the first famous list that we have is Rabbi Yehuda Gaon, the author of the Bahag, maybe. And in the Bahag, you have this list that includes Hadlakat Ner Shabbat, Hadlakat Ner Chanukah, Bikur Cholim, Nichum Avilim, are all mitzvot on the list. Other lists developed later, Rav Sadia Gaon and other of the Gaonim developed, the Rav Sadia Gaon has a famous poem, and the poem is of the mitzvot. The Rambam then came along and kind of dusted everybody out, because the Rambam presented 14 paragraphs as an introduction to what should be considered a mitzvah. What are the rules for being included? It has to be d'oraita, has to be explicit in the text, etc., etc. And then he presented the mitzvot, not in a textual order, but in a hierarchy and a sequence from central to tangential. So it starts with the mitzvah of believing in God. And the Rambam then published Sefer Mitzvot. Sefer Mitzvot, by the way, was all written in Arabic. Then, in the Mishnah Torah, which is afterwards, the Mishnah Torah, every section starts out with, this section includes 14 mitzvot. 8 mitzvot aseh, and 6 mitzvot lo taseh. And here's what they are. Right? Boom, 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 boom. And then he ends with, Zehu Perushan. And this is now the explanation. And then the halachot start. So the halachot are essentially presented as an explication of the mitzvot. So in the beginning of Hilchot Shabbat, the Rambam says there are 4 mitzvot. When it comes to Shabbat, there's a mitzvah of Zachor, there's a mitzvah of Shabbaton, a positive mitzvah to rest, there's a mitzvah of Alotase of Shamor, and there's Alotase of Tchumin. Right? And Zel Perushan, and then 30 chapters of Hilchot Shabbat. So at the beginning of the Chot Chametz Matzah, the Rambam talks about the various mitzvot, the lotaseis of eating chametz on Pesach, of eating chametz, owning chametz on Pesach, of having chametz in your property, of having chametz on the afternoon of the 14th, of the mitzvot asay of eating matzah, the mitzvot asay of Haggadah, etc. And then we jump ahead to the 7th parak and we see the following. Mitzvot asay shel Torah. L'saper b'nisim v'niflaot she'na'asu la'avoteinu b'mitzrayim b'leil 15 b'nisan. There is a mitzvah from the Torah, mitzvah taseh from the Torah, to speak about, to discuss, to shmooze about the miracles and wonders that happened to our ancestors in Egypt on the night of the 15th of Nisan. Now, on the night of the 15th of Nisan is a modifier of what? Because it could be one or two things. That it's a mitzvah aseh for us to talk about the miracles. When did those miracles happen? On the 15th of Nisan. Or it's a mitzvah aseh for us to talk about the miracles that happened to our ancestors throughout the Exodus. When do we have to do it? On the 15th of Nisan. That ambiguity is very quickly cleared up, that the 15th of Nisan is not talking about when the miracles happened, but rather but we are obligated to do it. Alright, because the miracles cover a long period, but you're going to see from his text. And he quotes a pasuk, because the Rambam is going to back it up. There's a mitzvah say, there's got to be a pasuk. The Torah said so. What's the pasuk? Shenemar, Zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzatem mimitzrayim. Now that's not a pasuk that you see quoted often in the context of Haggadah. Usually you see Vingada Talavidach, etc. Here there's no children involved. Zachor et hayom hazeh. What does Zachor et hayom hazeh mean? Remember this day. Which day is that? Right? And who says that you have to do it on Pesach? Maybe you can do it on Tisha B'Av. Maybe you can do it on Tuesday in December. Who says that there's any special mitzvah to do it on Pesach? So the Rambam now backs that up too. K'moshe ne'amar zachor yom ha'Shabbat. The Rambam does something very clever here. He says, look, the Torah says zachor yom hazeh. You're supposed to remember this day that you left Mitzrayim. But the Torah doesn't tell us when to remember that day. And then the Torah gives us all sorts of mitzvot to do throughout the year that are intended to remind us of Mitzrayim. Kiddush Bechorot, sanctifying the firstborn child and the firstborn of the flock and the herd. And tefillin. And other mitzvot that were given in order to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So how do I know that there's any special mitzvah to do this on the night of Pesach? Shenemar, Kamo Shenemar, Zachor Yom HaShabbat. The Rambam compares Zachor Yitzhak Mitzrayim with Zachor Yom HaShabbat. What's the comparison? And I'll ask you a second question. Are there other things we're obligated to remember in the Torah? Amalek, thank you. So we didn't forget, right? We're obligated to remember Amalek. Why doesn't the Rambam compare that? Why doesn't he say, remember the day of Yitzhak Mitzrayim like you're supposed to remember Amalek? Right? So there's a strong undercurrent there. So let me ask you this. When you say Kiddush, Friday night, you declare that Shabbat is a commemoration of two things. Which two things? Zecher.
Right.
And before that, Zikaron, Maaseh Bereshit. You're reflecting the two versions of the Dibrot. In the first version of the Dibrot, the one that's in Yitro, first at least in our text, it says, right? So we mentioned that Shabbat is a commemoration of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. On the other hand, in Dvarim, so in Dvarim, Shabbat is presented as a Zecher Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and so we say both. So what do we see? That Yitzhak Mitzrayim is inherently tied in with Shabbat. Why that's the case? Look at the Ramban there. Beautiful Ramban. But the two are tied in together. So much so that the halacha is, and we just mentioned it, that when you say Kiddush Friday night, you are obligated to mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It's part of it. It's got built in. Shenemar, and we have these two Zachors. So the two are tied together. And now there's something else. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Zachor Yom HaShabbat? How do you fulfill it? Torah says Zachor Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. Not L'Kodsho, which is a verb, but L'Kadsho, which is a noun. Sorry, to the opposite. Not L'Kodsho, which is a noun, L'Kadsho, it's a verb. Remember the day of Shabbat in order to sanctify it. How do you do that? And when do you do that?
Kiddush.
So when do you do it? Bo Bayom. In other words, when do you remember Shabbat? On Shabbat. So now, what's the Rambam tying together? Zachor et hayom hazeh. The Torah says, remember this day. That's the day of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. But it doesn't say when you're supposed to remember it. So what does the Rambam do? He ties it together saying, K'moshin Amar, Zachot Yom HaShabbat. Just like the Torah says, Zachot Yom HaShabbat. And when are we supposed to be Zachot Yom HaShabbat? B'Shabbat. So when are we supposed to be Zachot Yom HaZeh? B'Yom HaZeh. Now you see why the Rambam said there's a mitzvah from the Torah to remember the Nisim on the night of the 15th, as it says, and now he needs both psukim. The fact that it's a mitzvah is from the first pasuk, but the fact that it's that night is from the second pasuk. Okay. Uminayin Shebelel Chamishah Sar Talmud Omar. How do I know it's on that night? Because there's another piece to the puzzle. And here we got a much more familiar pasuk. V'gadatalevincha b'yom ahul emor ba'avur zeh. What does the Torah command us? We have to tell our kids on that day, saying ba'avur zeh. Now what does the word zeh mean? Word zeh means this. What does the word zeh always imply?
A physical object.
An object that you're pointing to. Horaya, what's the famous midrash about the new moon? HaKadosh Hazel Lachem. Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand what a new moon looked like. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him an image of a new moon and said, Kazer Eva Kadesh. Zeh. What's the famous midrash about the Machzir HaShekel? I don't know why, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what a Machzir HaShekel looked like. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Zeh Yitnu, Zeh. And of course, most famously is, Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what the menorah looked like. He got confused by the symbol of the state, right? And by Titus's arch. And so therefore, he said, Zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a fiery menorah. So Zeh always points to that. So therefore, you're supposed to tell your kid, ba'avur Zeh, which means, what are you doing? You're pointing to something to teach the kid with. So what's that? B'sha'ashish matzah u'marur menachim u'fanecha. That, of course, is a rewriting of the midrash that we have in the Haggadah. Yachom Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so now that's the Rambam, how he explains how we know it is on the night of the 15th. By the way, we already established it's on the 15th, Zachor Yom HaShabbat. So what's the issue the Rambam's pushing with this last pasuk? When is the mitzvah of the Haggadah? When is the mitzvah of talking about Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Which means when? At night. The Rambam's bothered by this. He says, the first pasuk just tells me that there's a mitzvah to talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. When? Chvaisnisht. The second pasuk tells me it's got to be on the day. What's the day? The 15th. 15th is a 24-hour day. The third pasuk is there to tell me, no, it can only be at a time when Matzah Mor is in front of you, which means it's at night. Why is Matzah Mor only in front of you at night? Because what's Matzah Mor chiefly supposed to be an escort to, an accompaniment to? It's supposed to be an accompaniment to Korban Pesach. Amatzot Mor Yachlu. And the Korban Pesach, by definition, may only be in the night. On Chol day of Amud HaShachar, we're done. Maybe midnight, Amud HaShachar, we're done. It's nighttime. What? Why at night? Good. Very good question. Why is Korban Pesach only at night, unlike every other Korban in the world? Right? A Korban Todah is daytime. Into the night, fine. But why only in the night? Because what are we doing on Pesach? Recreating the experience. What did they go through then?
They slaughtered the lambs.
But what did they do? They stayed in the house at night.
Right.
What did they do at daybreak? They got out of there. So therefore, we recreate it by having the Korban Pesach at night. And therefore, Matzah Mor are only there at night. And therefore, since the Torah says that the mitzvah of telling the story has to have show and tell, has to have the symbols on the table, ba'avur zeh, therefore the Rambam says, that's how we know that there's a mitzvah at night to talk about the story. But notice that he did not use the Vigata Tal Vimcha as the first pasuk. He used it as the third pasuk. And the first pasuk, he said, was zachor te'ev zeh. And the verb he used was not mitzvah lahagid, but mitzvah lesaper. You know what lesaper is? To shmooze, to share, to discuss. Now, take a look at the next halacha, you'll see. In the meantime, just to finish this off, the Alpha Pisha in Loben. So the Rambam here puts a little important caveat here. Since the last part of this, the proof that it's at night, was based on the Pasuk, V'higadetza levincha, what if you're an elderly couple living in a retirement village? What if you're a young couple, no kids? So maybe you don't have to do it at night, right? Or if you're alone. See, the Rambam gets that. V'afilu, chachamim dolim chayim l'saper b'tzeit Mitzrayim v'chomech b'dvarim shiru v'shayu harez v'shubach. So the Rambam does not explain why the absence of a child still keeps it that night. So the Rambam would perhaps be interpreting and saying that ba'avur zeh is there as a marker of the time. And the ideal, of course, of a kid, you're showing what to do. But even if not, that's the time when we do it. And by the way, afilu chachamim dolim is a critical piece. What is it about chachamim dolim that keeps pushing us to think they don't have to do Seder, and therefore we have to keep mentioning them in the Haggadah? Afilu kulanu chachwai.
We're confused. Is the mitzvah of the Seder chinuch, or is it for Simei Nisa?
Excellent. So what is the mitzvah? The answer is both. The answer is both.
It's for Simei Nisa because...
You'll see. There's two. There is one mitzvah.
If you're alone,
there is, because what do you have to do if you're alone? You have to ask yourself.
Yeah,
you have to ask yourself. It has to be in the form of Talmud Torah, question and answer. So now, if there's no children there, nonetheless, the mitzvah of discussing it, of expanding on it, of learning from each other, and publicizing it, persumanes, is there. There's a second component to it, which we're going to see in Halacha Bet. Mitzvah lehodiyah labanim. Now notice how he opens up this halacha. Mitzvah lehodiyah labanim. It sounds like there's a separate mitzvah. Now it's not a separate mitzvah among the 613, but there's a separate form of this mitzvah. And that is education, information, transmission. And the difference is this. It's a huge difference. In Le Saper, in Lizkor, we are all on the same page. We're all on the same level, I mean. And I've got what to share, and you got what to share, and I hear your questions, you hear my questions. There's no power structure. In a father-son relationship, there is an inherent power structure. And the power structure is the one with the body of knowledge, the one with the family lore, the one with the national information, and the recipient, the next generation, who ultimately it's going to be his job or her job to then pass it on to the next generation. But it's a hugely different experience. Because think about when you're schmoozing with colleagues about a business issue, about politics, about Netanyahu in Congress, whatever it might be, you ask what they think, they ask what you think, you do listen, you might not listen, whatever, but you're sharing information. What happens when you're talking to the uninitiated about it? Somebody you meet who's not at all familiar with what's going on in the world, and you talk to them about it, you're giving them all the information. You're not asking their opinion, you're informing them of stuff they don't know. And if it's important enough, you'll say, now I want you to take this and take this card and go over these five main talking points and then go to these other five people and tell them. That's what Lahudia is. Lahudia is to inform. And it's a whole different experience. And therefore we see the following. Afilu lo sha'alu. Even if the kids don't ask, you have the obligation to tell them. Why is afilu lo sha'alu? Because as you will see, the proper form of Talmud Torah in general and the proper form of this mitzvah in particular is question-answer. So I would think that if the kid doesn't ask, there's no mitzvah for me to tell. Right? Like the famous Ramban. There's no mitzvah to appoint the king until the people ask for it. Because that's the way it's presented. From Atah, Sima Lai Melech. I think the same thing here. Because it says, V'gata tel avincha. And by the way, in our structure of the four sons, which son is that? That's the son, Sheino Yideh Elishol. We initiate it. L'fi da'ato shel ben aviv malamdo. And the truth is, this is either an impossible thing to do or the most obvious thing in the world. If you know anything about chinuch or anything about parenting, then you know every kid's different. And you got to deal with kids differently. And by the way, every kid's different every year. So it's not like this kid, oh yeah, I got him locked in. At 3 years old, you know, he likes games, so he likes games forever. No. At 4 years old, he likes other games. And by 8, he might be more sophisticated. And by 15, you might be able to have a discussion with him. Ketzad, imayakatan otipesh. Beautiful. Omerlo bni. Kulanu ayinu avadin kamo shivcha zu o kamo evad zeh. It's delightful. The Rambam says, you know, you point to the servants. I say, we used to be like that. The Yitzrayim. Uvalayla zeh padau tana kodesh baruch hu yotzeinu l'cheirut.
You know
exactly what you're saying.
No, I don't. Right. All of a sudden, Africans know this very well. Right. All right. Padau tana kodesh baruch hu yotzeinu l'cheirut. Kodesh baruch hu took us out and made us free. V'im aya ha-ben gadol v'chacham, the kid's more sophisticated, modiyo ma'shira lanu mitzrayim v'nisim sh'nasu lanu al-dei Moshe Rabbeinu, hakol l'fi da'ato shel ben. Okay? And then, please do, and quote him. So last thing I want to show you about this particular component of the informing of the kids is halacha gimel. And we'll end with halacha gimel, we'll pick it up next week. You're obligated to do things differently. Why? So the kids should see you doing stuff differently and ask. Now, by the way, what kind of shinui do you have to do? You have to say, I can't tell you, because if I tell you, then it defeats the purpose. If I tell the kids, by the way, 2 weeks from tonight, your Abba is going to come in and wash, but not make a bracha, and then he's going to take some vegetable and dip it in some salt water and make a big bracha on it, like you've defeated the entire purpose of what Karpasim is about, right? So the Rambam doesn't say you have to do X, Y, and Z. He says, Lasot Shinui, he's going to give some examples. We want the kids to actually ask a real question. We don't want the kids to go and say, excuse me, I see money. No, it's a real question. What are you, why are you guys being so bizarre tonight? Because the ideal is for the kids to ask and you to answer, because the proper method of Talmud Torah is Shoel u'Meshiv, and because you've got a much more invested audience if they ask the question. Okay, Tzad Mishanes. The Rambam says, how do you do things differently? Notice what he says and what he doesn't say. Mechaleku em klayot ve'gozim. You give out little candies and stuff to them. You pick up the table, move it away. Don't we do it? Seder, put it down, pick it up, move it around, do the hokey pokey, right? People grab matzah from each other. Right? Notice what he does say. I've never seen anybody do this, but notice what he doesn't say, which we absolutely do for this purpose. Right? The chayot say b'dvar na'ilo. What is the Rambam gaining? What? And he also doesn't. The carpets he mentions later, but he doesn't say is yachatz.
Well,
chotem matzah is a form of that.
Yes.
In other words, we're playing with the food. Right? Why, by the way...
I'm saying grab it.
Yeah.
Steal it.
No, okay, but I'm saying the breaking and not all that. Because, why are all the weird things around food? Why does it play catch with the Haggadah? Why not? Why is it all around food? Because everybody's looking at food. You want to sit down and have a discussion about free will and the fairness of Hashem punishing Paro, you got 3 people listening and 14 people asleep. You want to talk about the role of art and Egyptian art and the Mishkan, you got another 3, different 3 people. The other 14 people asleep. Talk about food, everybody's listening, especially if they haven't eaten all day. People are always looking. Oh, what's he doing with that? I'm starving. Right? Everybody looks. Food is a universal. Right? Not just Jews, by the way, but you know, people think it's only Jews. Right? Emo Ben, let's say you have no kids. It's you and your wife. You still shalto. That's the question and answer with your wife. Emo Isha Sholin Zedzel. It's a bunch of men together. They ask each other. They have to ask it in that form. Afilu ayu kulan chachamim, which looks a little silly. Imagine Rabbi Kiva sitting there and Rabbi Tarfon saying, "My Nishtan Alay Lazet." Now sing it. Imagine. It's very strange. Hayal Vado. Very sad possibility. I know a guy wants to do a whole Seder inside a tank. But he wasn't about that. He and the other had chaver of the tank. They did say it together. Hayal vado shoela atzmo. You have to ask yourself. Manish tana alay lazet. Okay. What you see from here is several things. The Rambam starts out by saying there's a mitzvah of discussion. Mitzvah of sharing information, these core. And to talk about it, and what you call pirsum hanes. And then there's a second component to the mitzvah, which is one of informing. Of an obligation to pass the tradition on. But then the Rambam steps back from that and seems to say that any time that you're doing this Seder, even if there aren't kids there, it has to be in the form of kids. In other words, it has to be question and answer, and you got to do bizarre stuff in order to generate this manishtana that some Rosh Hashiva is going to ask you because you're also a Rosh Hashiva. And the two Rosh Hashiva are sitting there alone having a Seder, and one's asking the other, like, "Hey, little kid, manishtana alay lazet," because that's the form it has to take. What the Rambam has done brilliantly, of course, brilliantly, in his first 3 halachot, and we'll see further next week, is to present the parameters of the mitzvah and really the dialectic of the mitzvah. On the one hand, the mitzvah is one of discussion, which would be based on the level of the people there, and it could be on a very high level. On the other hand, the mitzvah is one of informing, which has to reach to the youngest kid and the simplest uneducated neophyte and to bring them into the fold. And critical piece is that you have to do it each according to their own standard, which, of course, is a very tricky thing. A lot of the devices that we have at the table and within our traditions are instrumental in creating that, in creating an interesting melding. I'll just end with this observation. You ask, who is the target audience of the Haggadah? The answer is, very simply, everybody. But if you were to give the quick answer that you're going to read in the LA Times religion section or whatever, it'll be the children. Ages, 2 to 92, maybe 122. It's true, because there's a piece of the experience of the Seder which brings out the child in everybody. I don't mean childishness. I mean childlike wonder. That we're supposed to really experience things almost with those eyes of amazement and wonder. And a lot of what the experience of the Seder brings is it brings back for many of us nostalgia of when we were kids. So there's also a return to childhood in a very positive way, hopefully in a very positive way. And so we're experiencing it that way. But on the other hand, and at the same time, in an amazing, magical moment, the Seder matures everybody. And suddenly you can find, and I've seen this, little kids talking way beyond their level. and actually being part of a discussion and feeling very sophisticated, and a discussion about freedom and about Jewish history and about archaeological artifacts demonstrating that we were in Egypt or whatever it might be. So there's this weird melding that happens in the evening where everybody becomes a kid and everybody becomes a responsible adult. And we'll pick this up next week.